I've been asked to speak on the biblical aspects of having a church building. So first thing I'd like to do is to remind us all what church means in the New Testament. Whenever the New Testament talks about church, it's always referring to the people. So as much as we look for a church building, we must never forget that the most important things about our fellowship are firstly the people, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So finding a church building is obviously very important, but we must never forget that people are very important. So let's look at three scriptures. First one is Acts 5 verse 42. It said, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. Lastly, in Acts 2, verse 46 and 47, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So if we look at the early church, they met in a variety of places. They met in the temple courts, which is obviously a much bigger area, covered area. They met outdoors, and they also met in people's homes. So when we find a new church building, this doesn't necessarily replace the other two. We need to continue to meet in one another's homes and outdoors, as well as in the new building. So the new building is just one aspect of church life, but hopefully a really significant one. Of course, a lot of the Jewish people at the time used to meet in synagogues and in the temple, but the New Testament Christians weren't particularly welcome in those and were actually persecuted for their faith. So we move on to actually look at how, as a fellowship, do we currently use buildings. It's quite surprising how many that we currently use. So if we look at, say, you'll probably have to think back to pre-lockdown, because it has been a long time since we've been having face-to-face meetings. So first of all, we use the Citadel. That's the Salvation Army Centre. There we have Sunday worship. We've had a small number of Sunday worship meetings there. We've had a couple of Tiddlywinks, Baby and Me sessions, and the musicians have also done a recording there. We use St. Lawrence's Church Hall in the centre of Stroud for Tiddlywinks, and we also use the Octagon in Pagan Hill for a Tiddlywinks too. Then we use the Cross, which are the offices. Not particularly glamorous, but hopefully looking a bit better now that we've had them painted. We have those as offices for Martin and Denise and anyone else who will be joining the team. It's used for youth work, musicians practice and recording. We have weekday meetings there. Food Bank uses the Cross to distribute food parcels once a week. Elizabeth teaches refugees English occasionally, and since lockdown, street pastors have used it as a base for their operations in Stroud on a Saturday evening. We also use Scrollita's shop in the multi-story near Waitrose for Saturday men's breakfast. So as you can see, we actually use lots of different properties and buildings in different ways. And it's unlikely that we can replace all of those with a single building, because they're geographically spread out. So, and if we decide to also move into other areas around the Stroud district, then again, that may require local works. So as a result, the search for a building needs to be very much underpinned by prayer. The whole church needs to pray regarding us finding a new building. And what I suggest is the type of things that we need to pray for is the Lord would actually open our eyes as to what his plans are for us in this area. Because we've got a strategic framework, but this is now moving into the practical aspects of the Lord's plan for us. So we all need to see his plans. We also need to pray that the Lord will release the properties and rooms that he's got for us, because they're probably occupied by somebody else at the moment. So we need to pray that he'll release them for us. We also need to pray that he'll lead us to them and give us the witness when we see them that it is his provision for us, and that we won't have, you know, different opinions, etc. And lastly, that the Lord will enable us to secure it, because there will obviously be other spiritual forces at work, and we need to make sure that we do actually move into what the Lord's provision is. And finally, I just caution us that we mustn't look at finding a church building as some way of kind of us moving into a new era or a new sense of maturity, because I remember my late father used to say that, you know, lots of movements of the Holy Spirit often ended when people built buildings, and basically they went from having a movement to having a monument. So we mustn't fall into that category. So we must include in our prayers that the whole church will have, you know, continue with a spiritual reawakening and renewal, that this new building we put to the Lord's fullest purposes.
When Martin asked me to think about saying something today, the verse that came to me was Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds. And that started my thinking and my praying about, why do we need to meet together as a church face to face? Well, one of the things that the pandemic's taught me is that fear is an enemy of hope. And that this digitization of our culture at the moment is forcing us to change whether we like it or not. That good things can happen when we work together, and when we work together as a church or as a society. And that, I suppose, the final bit, the lack of social contact affects us deeply in many ways, because it is our nature. So what should we all do now as Christians? We've learnt lots of lessons. Well, we have to do what all Christians have done down through the centuries: adapt. Well, personally, I think, like you probably do too, that although we've had to learn quite a few lessons, Zoom, social media, online alpha are fantastic tools for outreach to reach deeper and wider than the church has ever reached before with the message of Jesus and our personal relationship. So we've got these new tools. So why should we meet together in person? Well, Ephesians 4, verse 12 says that we should meet together for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and good works, for the building up of the body of Christ. So my question to you is then, do you need wisdom? I know I do. Do you need to share a burden? I do. Do you need teaching how to live as a Christian in today's society? Well, some of the best teachers are you, are your brothers and sisters in the church. They're the ones that you're going to learn a lot from. Romans 12 says that you should be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Jesus gave us a commandment in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples. Not all churches are the same. We're not all going to be 15,000 people in an auditorium. And I know that Stroud Christian Fellowship's not the same as any other church. How? Because I'm in it. Sorry, folks. So when it is the time for us to meet together again, we will meet together to build faith, to build trust, to teach each other how to live a faithful Christian life, to love one another, and to share one another's burdens, so that Stroud Christian Fellowship can be that light on the hill. And that last little bit of Hebrews that I didn't read out from verse 24 says that we should not abandon our meeting together, is the habit of some.